Father God, today we lift your name up. We don't lift our names up. We don't lift somebody else's. We lift your name up, Jesus. You are the victor. You've said that we have been set free, and we celebrate that together as a people today, God. So we pray everything that's said and done today, you would be glorified, you would be honored, and you would be lifted up, because you alone are worthy of our praise. So we love you, Jesus. We thank you for the mighty works you've done. Even right now, Father, bring to our remembrance the blessings we've taken for granted so that we can say, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you for a cross and a resurrection. We thank you that we were once hopeless, but now we have hope. Father, we thank you that we were once defeated, but now we have victory. Oh, Father, we lift your name up, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord to your glory. We love you. Amen. Amen. Man. Oh, he is so good. And I'm excited just to share with you. Pastor Steve brought such a powerful message last week about David and Goliath. 10 people came to know Jesus last week. Amen. Only God can do that. And my prayer is that today's message would not just be another message, but an extension of that one, because there are so many parallels. And we're going to talk about the most popular passage in the book of Daniel. Which passage would that be? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a pretty popular one. But related to Daniel's life specifically, what would it be? Come on now. The lion's den. Now, y'all, it's like really 12:30. It's really 12:30, right? Because we fell back an hour. So I want you to, I got a lot to cover. I'll talk fast and you listen fast, okay? Daniel and the lion's den, there's so much to get. First of all, think about all this has taken place in Babylon. And think about the rich history of Babylon. I mean, you know, first time we kind of get an idea of what Babylon is about, we go back to Genesis. And the Bible tells us a group of people gathered together and they wanted to build a tower to reach to the heavens, which basically meant this. They wanted to get to God without God. Anybody here ever tried that? I've tried it. Anybody ever try to get to God without God? Can't do it. Doesn't work. So they're building a tower. The Bible says they weren't building a tower to get to God. They were building a tower to make a name for themselves. I got to ask you that. Has anybody ever tried to make a name for themselves? Anyone? I ate more donuts than anybody at Campbellsville College, and one night I was trying to make a name for myself. They were trying to make a name for themselves. The Bible says that God saw what they were doing. He came and he totally confused their language and he scattered them. But that place where that tower was called Babel. And then we have Babylon. I mean, I want you to think about Babylon, because we, here in America, we can't relate to Babylon. It's so different than we are. You see, they had so much excess, they were empty. And they had so many gods, they were godless. I mean, aren't you glad we can't relate to that? Can't relate to excess, you know? And that's Babylon. And if you remember, the very reason that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and others were taken there is because God, all through history, God has told his people that there was one major important deal. Don't forget this one thing. Over and over he said it. He started in the Ten Commandments. Jesus reiterated it. It's this: have no other gods before you. Don't worship anything else. And they broke that. You see, they wanted to be like the other nations and worship the gods of the other nations. And they have a God for everything. Just like we have a God for everything, don't we? And we pray to the different gods. So we pray to the stock market that it would go higher and higher and higher. And we could retire earlier and earlier and earlier, right? We pray to the God called Jenny Craig. Don't we? You know, I was telling somebody today, I bought a whole box of those Weight Watcher donuts, and apparently it doesn't work if you eat them by the box. But I had three boxes and didn't lose a pound, and so I felt kind of cheated on that. You know, we pray, we want to know what's going on, so we call us. You may ever call a psychic, you know, or go see a psychic. And you, listen, and you ought to get a little freaked out when you go to see a psychic, and the first thing they ask you is, "What's your name?" I mean, listen, if you don't know that, I'm out of there, right? And all these different gods. And you know what? We are living in Babylon. We are living in Babylon. There's so much excess, we don't even know what we need. There are so many gods, we don't know who to serve. And so the Israelites, many of them are taken captive. But there's one, and his name is Daniel. And through every administration, Daniel has found favor in the eyes of the king. Every time he has found favor in the eyes of the king. And so we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter 6. And that is on the heels of one king going out. King Belshazzar. You may remember King Belshazzar. Raise your hand. I got to know who's with me. Okay, not many of you. How many of you remember the handwriting on the wall? Okay, more of us remember that. Here's the deal. King Belshazzar wakes up one day and there's a handwriting that's on the wall. And, you know, this isn't like a graffiti thing, you know, a spray paint can. I mean, something divine has happened here. And so all Belshazzar wants to know is, what's it say? And he gets all his spiritual people together. None of them can tell him. But they hear about this guy, this dream teller named Daniel. And Daniel comes, and the king says, if you'll interpret this, I'll give you all these different gifts. And you know what Daniel says to him? Now listen to this. He says, keep your gifts. I don't want what you have. But I will tell you what the handwriting on the wall says. You know what it said? It says, your life has been placed on the scales and found wanting. God had written a message to Belshazzar. And he said, you haven't measured up. You know, you're in position because I put you in position. And you have messed up and I'm going to take that position away from you. The Bible tells us that night, King Darius takes over the kingdom and King Belshazzar is killed that night. And that's where we pick up in Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Listen to what the Bible says. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Does that sound pretty good? I mean, he starts off a slave, right? He's captive, but God raises him up and he's going to be over the entire country. And the Bible says that he so distinguished himself by those abilities that God has given him. Let me ask you something. How have you distinguished yourself? How have you distinguished yourself? It reminds me, I used to work at a place called Kings Island. Anybody heard of Kings Island? And I worked in maintenance because of the vast knowledge of mechanics and stuff that I have. And I worked in the maintenance department. And my first day there, I realized I was way over my head. Everything had initials and I didn't know what any of the initials meant and I knew I was in trouble. Well, then I had two huge problems happen at lunchtime. My lunch was in my car and I go out there to my car and I had locked my keys in my car and I work in the maintenance department, right? Like it shouldn't happen. So finally I have to humble myself and go in and ask the guys, hey, I'll lock my keys in my car. Can somebody help me? So they're all making fun of me, of course. And we all go out to my car. And one of the guys says, don't you have a spare? And I said, yes, I always keep a spare. They said, well, great. Where is it? I was like, it's right there on the console. Right there. If we can just get to the spare keys, then we could get into the car. I've tried to reason with them. So I didn't distinguish myself very well, did I? How have you distinguished yourself? And we're talking spiritually. I want to tell you, the Bible teaches us that every gift we have is a gift from God. And can I tell you something? If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, you've been given a gift, at least, maybe several. Gifts and abilities that God has given you. How many of you are good at something? Hey, almost everybody. The rest of you are just not good at raising your hand, right? So it kind of works against itself. You're good at, God gives us those gifts and abilities. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. And God has given you those gifts, those abilities to be used. When the Bible says that Daniel distinguished himself through those abilities, the Bible's not boasting in Daniel. The Bible's boasting in God, because Daniel had those qualities because God gave them to him. Now let me tell you something. Everybody look at me. You have been given a gift, an ability, a quality, a characteristic, and God has given it to you, and it's a responsibility. It's a trust. God has given it to you because He wants you to use it. And I want you to notice right here, no one person was given all the gifts. Everybody see that? No one person was given all the gifts. That's where the local church comes into play. Because together, we bring the gifts together. I mean, what do you do if you're an eye in the body of Christ by yourself? Except roll around. What do? You don't do much. And the eye is very important. How many of you agree the eye is very important? But without the rest of the body, you don't need an eye. It's together. Somebody told me, we got an argument one time. Somebody said, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I said, no, but you got to go to church to be a good one. Because the way God has gifted us is that we're in this together. The Bible's not boasting in Daniel. The Bible's boasting in God. He distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. And because of that, the king had planned to set him over the entire kingdom. Now let me ask you, because now we know there's a plot. Somebody wants to do Daniel in. Can I just tell you something maybe that might be a word for somebody today? These people didn't care about Daniel. Some of them didn't even know Daniel. They didn't care about Daniel. There was a plot to get rid of Daniel, but it had nothing to do with Daniel. What did it have to do with? Here's what it had to do with. Somebody else wanted to be in charge of the nation. Somebody else wanted to be raised up. Somebody else wanted to find that kind of favor. And when they didn't, they decided together, we're going to get rid of Daniel. Now this is very interesting. Because the Bible shows us that as they're even talking about Daniel, they can't find any way that they're going to be able to do him in. This guy was so faithful. They knew that he wouldn't break any laws. They knew that he would do what was only best for the kingdom and for the king. And they knew there was no way. And one of them said, if we can trip him up with his God. And somebody's like, well, what do you mean by that? Daniel was so faithful to his God that he'd be faithful even if he wasn't allowed to be. So they go to the king. They go to Darius. And they say, Darius, we'd like you to issue an edict or a decree saying that for a 30-day period, nobody can pray to anybody except you, O king. And of course, they're playing to Darius's ego, right? Anybody ever play to your ego? It's called cheating. That's not fair, right? When my wife has a Swiss cake roll and says, hey, will you mow the yard? That's not fair. That's not fair. Well, Darius does indeed issue the decree and the edict. And he says for a 30-day period, nobody can pray to anybody except him. Well, Daniel, notice a couple things. Daniel didn't pick it. The next verse doesn't find Daniel on the street corner holding a sign saying, we should be able to pray. It's not what happens. You know where we find Daniel? The Bible says he goes to his room. And three times a day he would pray in his room facing Jerusalem. And that all goes back to another Old Testament thing that we don't have time to get into today. But here's the bottom line. Daniel was being faithful. He wasn't making a scene. He wasn't trying to be a showboat. He was just being faithful. Well, the satraps knew that Daniel would do this, so they catch him. And they go to the king. And they said, hey, is this edict, this decree, does it stand or not? I mean, is this for real or not? And King Darius says, yes, this is true. The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Guess what you and I know already without reading further? Darius can't rescue him. They do throw Daniel into the lion's den, but listen, here's one of the things we learn from this, and I just want to share with you. God has been just showing me some really neat things. God has been showing me some things that I never knew. And it's exciting. Has God ever just showed you something you didn't know before? Isn't that exciting when God does that? Let me tell you what else God is doing in my life right now. God is making known things that I've always known, but I've never believed. Are you with me? Because there's a difference between knowing something and believing something. Okay? There's a difference. So part of my journey is come right out of some of these stories that we've been going through. One of the things that we learn is King Darius is the most powerful man in the land, and he can't save Daniel. I want to tell you, no man can save you. No man can rescue you. No person can rescue you. Do you hear that? No person. And you know who's tried to rescue me more times than any? Me. And you know, so there I am in a pit, and the only tool I have to rescue myself with is a shovel. Right? So all I'm doing is digging deeper and deeper. You can't rescue you. I want you to know, the gospel is offensive to people because the Bible teaches that you cannot save yourself. The Bible teaches that there's something wrong with you. From the get-go, something's wrong with you, and you are in need of a Savior. And people don't like that. Some people like to say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, that's fine. There'll be a lot of pretty good people in hell. The Bible teaches that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the gospel's offensive. Because it says you and I can't help ourselves. But can I be really honest with you? That's a question. Okay, great. Thank you. Let me be really honest with you. I've never met a truthful person who told me they thought they could make it on their own. Now, I don't mean that every one of those people said they thought they needed Jesus. But they knew they needed something beyond themselves. And I'm here to tell you, I needed something beyond myself, and you need something beyond yourself. And there's only one who can come to our rescue, and that's Jesus. And the good news of the gospel isn't that you're a sinner, and you are. And the good news of the gospel isn't that you need somebody to save you, and you do. The good news of the gospel is this, that God came to us as Jesus Christ, as the only perfect person who had no sin, and He could go on the cross and He could die for me and for you. And not only can He save you, if you'll trust Him, He will save you. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news. Nobody could rescue Daniel. And guess what? Daniel wasn't sitting there saying, oh, King Darius, I hope he comes through. Oh, I hope King Darius can get that work order to get me released. That's not what you think Daniel was praying that? No way. Daniel's prayer never changed just because his situation did. Here's a characteristic we have of Daniel. Daniel always had a perspective of praise. He didn't whine and complain about where he was. God, I hate where I'm at. God, I don't like this. God, this just stinks. I'm not happy here. God, he didn't do that. I heard a pastor who was trying to encourage his congregation to be more positive. And he said, we're always saying it could have been better or it could be better. And he said, I wanted to teach them to start saying it could be worse. He said, that's what I want you to say from now on. Hey, it could be worse. So you get up, you go to work in the morning. You don't like your job. You don't like the people you work with. You don't like the boss. And maybe you are the boss and you don't like the boss. You know how that goes sometimes, right? But instead of saying how much you don't like work, you get there and you say, that was pretty bad. You say, it could be worse. You're driving down the road and you don't like your car. It doesn't have all the little features you'd like. Maybe it doesn't have all the doors. I mean, I don't know, but you don't like your car. But you're driving down the road and you need to tell yourself, you wake up in the morning, you look at that person you've been married to for several years, right? And you tell yourself. See, I tried to tell my wife that. I said, honey, it could be worse. And she said, I don't think so. There you go. Nobody can rescue Daniel. No person can rescue him. And he knows that. But he's going to be content with where he is. He's not praying for God to move him. He's praying for God to move right where he is. Right where he is. God knew all along where Daniel would be. God had a plan all along that he would use Daniel right where he was. All along. King Darius can't do anything. So they bring Daniel to throw him into the lion's den. The last thing the king says is, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Now listen to this. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Did you hear that? They throw him in a lion's den. They roll a stone over the holes. That sound vaguely familiar to anybody in here? So that, they roll the stone so that his situation might not be changed. But I gotta tell you, there is one who can change the situation. There is one who can roll the stone away. Where men couldn't do it, God can do it. Some of you are here and you feel like your situation will never change. Maybe you feel like it's the same thing day in, day out. You've been battling the same thing for years. I shared on Wednesday night that I share some of my struggles on Wednesday night. One of the things I've shared is that all my adult life I've battled my weight. All my adult life. And I told them, seriously, and this isn't a joke, so please don't laugh like the other services did. But I've lost probably 200 to 300 pounds in my adult life. That's the truth. It's not because I weighed so much. It was that I lost 15 pounds, gained 20. Lost 20 pounds, gained 25. I mean, you know how it works. My wife come home and I was all discouraged and down. She's trying to encourage. She's like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'm just so tired of, you know, just battling with this weight." And the whole time we're having this conversation, I'm eating some Swiss cake rolls and a glass of milk. And I'm like, "I just want to lose weight. I just want to be skinny," you know? It's like there's this battle, and she goes, "Well, why don't you stop with eating all that junk?" And I was like, "I'm trusting Jesus. I believe I could eat the junk, and he could like zap me still and be like, you know? He could do it, amen?" But he hasn't, my wife keeps reminding me. He's not done it, so maybe he wants you. So I'm not going to whine and complain. We're in a place, we've got our battles there. Hey, some of our battles are ours. Some of the pits I'm in are a result of my shovel. Because God said, "Don't do it." And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop Monday, God. Stopping in November, God. January of 11, I'm stopping, God." You know, some of the pits I'm in because God dug them for me. Because he so desires intimacy with me that he'll take me to a dark and lonely place so that all I have is him. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me, church. And to date, those are my most precious places. I didn't like them in the middle of it. I didn't like it going into it. Sometimes coming out wasn't even fun. But when I look back, I wouldn't trade those moments for anything. Daniel had a moment like that. The king said, "Daniel," they rolled the stone away. The king says, "Daniel, are you there?" Because let me tell you what's awesome. God rescued Daniel without rolling the stone away. Because he doesn't have to roll the stone. God can rescue you however he wants, even if it doesn't make any sense to anybody else. Because I'm thinking the way God's going to rescue me is I'm going to outrun the lions till God gets the stone rolled away, right? Hurry, God. Can you imagine that third lap? Okay, God, got to get that stone rolled away. But God, you know what God did? You know what Daniel said? Daniel said that God sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lion. And I'm speculating here, but I'm willing to bet that if you talk to Daniel, he'd tell you that was one of the highlights of his life, was seeing the angel shut the mouth of the lion, and he wouldn't trade it for anything. He wouldn't trade it. I think Daniel would say, "I wouldn't trade the lion's den." Give me the lion's den. Keep the palace. Give me the lion's den. Because it was in the lion's den where God's provision was right there. It was in the lion's den that I came to know God in a way that I had never known Him. Keep the palace. Keep the money. Keep it all. Give me the lion's den. That's what I want. You know what? Some of you are in the lion's den today. But let me encourage you. It's right where God wants you. See, it's no surprise last week for us to hear that God used David for His glory. That doesn't surprise us. He's David. That's what He does. It doesn't surprise you this week that I tell you that God used Daniel for His glory. That doesn't surprise us. That's what Daniel does. But let me tell you what blew me out of the water. God also used Goliath for His glory. And God also used the lions for His glory. And if He can do that, then some of us here this morning have to get real about our lives. Because if some of you, us are honest, we're spending our lives trying to avoid the giants and the lions. And we should be embracing them. We're trying to avoid the giants and the lions, and it's God who's sending them. And can I tell you something? And just be really honest with you. The giants are coming. And you might can avoid one, but the giants are coming. And you know what? Most of us already know. The lions are coming. The Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's after you. And he's after me. The giants are coming. The lions are coming. But fear not. Because this is not a God who can just raise you up for His glory. This is a God who can use the giants to His glory and the lions to His glory. God can do that. God can do that. And so we face the giants and we face the lions because somebody here got a phone call this week. Some of you got a phone call from a doctor. And the test results came back and it's not good. And you didn't want that call. You were hoping for better news. But you got a giant. You got a giant. God, how will you use this giant for your glory? Because if that's what you want, help me not to mess it up. Help me to be faithful. Listen, that's all it was with Daniel. Daniel was no different than you or me. Daniel was just faithful. The Bible doesn't say that he wasn't scared in the lion's den. And maybe he wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. I'd say if it was like me, there's probably a little bit of fear. I wonder what God's going to do here. I hope God zaps the lions dead. I would have personally found the most comfort in dead lions. That's just me. But I imagine Daniel, you just got to imagine, since the Bible says that the angel shut the lion's mouth. Again, I'm not Daniel. I don't know what he'd have been if I'm in the lion's den. I thought it would have been fun to ride one. And I can't bite you. I was like, whoa. I don't know. I don't know. But here's what I do know. The giants are coming. And the lions are coming. And God knows about the phone call you got. God knows where that wayward child is. God knows. God knows about the knife or knives that are in your back and who put them there. God knows that. God knows that. God knows the news. God knows what's going on. The giants are coming. You know what's probably more accurate for most of us? They're here. They are here. They live with me. They're in the house. They got their own address. They're here. I'm doing this right now, but God knows it. You're not going it alone. And so quit trying to avoid the giants, and together, as a people of God, we've got to learn to embrace the giant. God, how will you use this giant for your glory? How will you use this giant for your glory? How will you use this lion for your glory? Because that wayward child, you know where they may be? They may be right where God planned for them to be all along. And He's going to show them something there that's going to change the rest of their life. You don't know. But the giants are coming if they're not here. The lions are coming if they're not here. And you and I must be faithful. We've got to have a perspective of praise. It's easy to praise God when there's no giants around. It's easy to praise God when there's no lions. But I'd say the true test of our fellowship is whether or not we'll praise Him with the giant right there and with the lion right there. Will we praise Him, as they sang earlier, right in the middle of the storm? And I tell you, it's one thing to praise Him in the middle of the storm. It's a whole other level in your walk to thank Him for the storm. But that's where we've got to get. That's where we've got to get. And I promise you, I'm not telling you that I know how to get there, because I'm in the journey with you. And I've got the giants and the lions in my life that I'm trying to deal with. I'm sitting in some pits that I dug, and I can't blame on anybody else. And then there's pits in my life that God has put right there. And if I'll be faithful in that pit and in that time, God will deliver me. Can you imagine that? And so we've got to be faithful. I want to plead with some of you to come to this altar tonight, because you've spent maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years trying to avoid the giants, missing the fact that God wants to use the giant in your life for His glory. It's for freedom that we've been set free. So let's embrace the giant today, because God wasn't surprised by the giant. God always knew the giant was coming. God sent the giant in many of those situations. So I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. It's this morning, I know. And say, God, help me to embrace the giant. Help me to embrace the lion. God, I want You to be glorified in this moment of my life, no matter how hard I think it is. Some of you are here, and maybe one of the giants in your life is you've just refused to be baptized. You know you're saved. You know Christ lives there, but you refuse to be baptized. I'm going to tell you, that's disobedience. Because that is something God wants to use in your life, and you don't know what God's going to do with that. Some of you just need to come and say, I know I need to be baptized. Some of you, you've been coming for a while. You've heard the gospel. You've heard us say over and over again, something's wrong with you, that you need Jesus. He's got to forgive you. You've heard that over and over and over, but you're still struggling with, but I think I'm going to be okay. You're not. You are not going to be okay. If you were going to be okay, do you think God would send His own Son to the cross? If you could be okay without that? No way. There's no other hope for you except Jesus. And I want to invite you to come this morning. Pray with somebody. Tell somebody, I know that I need Jesus in my life. And let's have a perspective of praise. You are where you are. You probably can't change that. So embrace it. God, I'll praise You right where I'm at. God, I'll praise You right where I'm sitting. God, I will praise You. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.